I'm Captain Kevin Smith, and this is Throttle Up, a radio show and podcast dedicated to the proposition that critical thinking, when employed, can dramatically improve performance in whatever we are doing, enable us to solve problems that others avoid, equip us to become thought leaders instead of followers, and provide us with the intellectual resources and moral courage to support and defend America and its Constitution. Our motto is clarify, reason, win. That is, clarify the actual, employ analytic reason, and achieve mission success. Our website, throttleupradio.com, that has all kinds of information. Also, our podcast is located there, as well as iTunes. And of course, we have a blog, so please visit our website. Our support staff, Evergroove Studios for audio engineering services. They are located in Evergreen, Colorado, and Reflections Printing for multimedia support, and they are located in St. George, Utah. Our book is Critical Thinking Essentials, Quick Reference Handbook. It is available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. Our broadcast time on Red State Talk Radio, we are on the weekends, both Saturday and Sunday, on the main channel, that's at 7 p.m., and the Encore channel, that's at 6 p.m. Okay, welcome back to Throttle Up. Now, we are starting a new year as we record this show. It is the 1st of January, 2020. So, Happy New Year to everyone out there. And I hope that you have had a great Christmas, and of course, Happy New Year, and hopefully all of us will do well in this coming new year. I'm looking forward to it, actually. So there's a number of things that I am working on, number of things that I'm planning to do. I think it's going to be an exciting year, hopefully, and so I'm looking forward to doing many exciting things. Both recreationally and professionally. And so it looks quite wonderful. I'm pretty excited about the whole thing and the whole situation in the picture. And hopefully all of us can look at it that way. Okay, so we started, well, let me go back and review a little bit of what we have done over the last year. Recently, actually, it's not the last year, so I kind of want to start off by talking about what we did over the last few months. We did have a long-running special edition. It's actually a 10-period show, 10 sessions, if you will. And it was on big picture thinking, and I thought it was particularly important. Now, there's a couple of reasons why I decided to do this special edition show on big picture thinking, and what was it all about. The reasons are many and somewhat varied, but primarily it's because I saw a need, kind of a urgent need for us to come to grips with some of the things that limit our ability to understand and limit our ability to go off and do things that are productive and effective and useful and timely and all that stuff. And so big picture thinking was an attempt to deal with some of those issues. If we, one of the things I like to talk about is our commitment to reason. And we all ought to have some kind of commitment for a number of things. Commitment to be compassionate, if you will. A commitment to be courteous. Commitment to be helpful, positive. I would also like to add to that list of commitments, a commitment to reason, commitment to being able to think clearly, to be able to apply reason to a particular thing or a particular situation or a particular life experience, whatever we are doing at the moment or whether whatever we are planning to do. Let us look at it from that perspective. And so big picture thinking was an attempt to look at things from a higher order reasoning perspective. We kind of use those terms interchangeably. They are similar terms. Now, you probably are asking, well, do they mean the same thing? I would say that by and large, they do. They do mean the same thing. By and large, they are mostly similar. I suppose that there are certain differences between the two. But nevertheless, I like the term big picture. Big picture came from the aviation industry long time ago and many other organizations and industries are adopting it today. And so I kind of like the term big picture thinking. And also, I like it because it enables us to check ourselves. Are we using big picture thinking when we are considering to do something? It could be professionally, or it could be in our personal lives. Are we using big picture thinking, or are we focused on some kind of a minor aspect of an overall situation or an overall occurrence? Getting bogged down in some minor aspect of a thing is often not very productive. So we want to use that as going forward into this new year, 2020, and we want to encourage all of us to apply big picture thinking when it is appropriate to do so, and to figure out those times and places where big picture thinking is, in fact, appropriate to do so. And so as we start off the new year, we're going to continue talking about something we started last week, and that was, and this was just before Christmas, by the way, and that was the IG report that needed to be discussed, the IG report that was in the news recently. And what we want to do here on Throttle Up Radio, we want to take a look at this from a big picture thinking standpoint. We want to take a look at the IG report in some meaningful way so that we can understand exactly what happened and the meaning behind the words. What was it that we should understand about this rather troubling situation that developed within the highest levels of our government and understand it from the standpoint of being able to figure out how do we go about preventing these kinds of things from happening? How do we go about putting in place these moral and ethical guideposts that we all should subscribe to? Where is our code of ethics? That's where I'm coming from in terms of looking at this thing, is I would like to consider, or I guess I could say I would like all of us to consider, where is our code of ethics? Are we, in fact, doing the right thing? Are we doing it appropriately? Can we hold our heads high when we are either engaged in something or planning to do something? Can we hold our heads high? Can we be proud of what we do? Can we be proud of everything about what we are doing? And do we have to hide anything because we don't want others to know? If that's the case, then we're probably not doing something that we can be proud of. So let's look at it that way. As we get involved in this discussion, and we're going to be doing this is the second part of this discussion, and maybe more. Let's look at it from the standpoint of is this our proudest moment as a country, as a governmental organization, as a people? Is this our proudest moment, or is it not our proudest moment? If it is not our proudest moment, why is it not? What can we do to make sure it doesn't happen again? What can we do to learn from this rather unfortunate, even, I would go on to say, even depressing event that has occurred in our nation's history? Okay, so what is it that we are going to be discussing? I have the executive summary. Let me give you the title. I'm getting ahead of myself here. The title of this report, it comes from the Office of the Inspector General, U.S. Department of Justice. The title of the report is The Review of 4 FISA Applications and Other Aspects of the FBI's Crossfire Hurricane Investigation. Okay, this is the executive summary that was published in December of 2019. There was some slight revisions to it, so you may want to check if you are going to get your own copy, which you can, because it is, in fact, has been released to the public. You may want to get the copy that has some revisions to it. So here's what I'm going to do for this show for today. I'm going to read some of the introductory stuff, and then we're going to take a short interlude by listening. And I think I'm going to say again, to Senator Lindsey Graham and his discussion about it. Now, if I've and forgive me because I can't quite remember what I did last show, and so but I thought, you know, if we did play some of this video audio clips from Lindsey Graham, I think playing them again is going to be very useful, because really it was quite a remarkable statement that was made by Senator Graham with respect to this IG report. I thought it was, in my view, I thought this was his finest moment. It was really quite amazing. And so we will listen to some of that as we go through this thing, and then we will take a look at the top 17 items. Now, the top 17 items are the 17 errors, mistakes, deceptions that were uncovered by the Inspector General. And these top, these 17 mistakes, errors, what have you, go to the heart of what these people were trying to do in terms of deceit and deception. And so we're going to do that, and then we will go from there and cover some of the more interesting aspects of the top 17 items in terms of the findings of the Inspector General's investigation into this, the FISA and the Crossfire Hurricane situation. All right. So let me begin here, or I guess I could say, let me continue with, because we started this last week, and let me continue. And again, I'm probably going to repeat a little bit, although I think it's important for us, particularly those who were not available last week. So forgive me if I repeat some of this stuff, but I think everything I'm going to say here is particularly important for all of us to understand in terms of what actually was going on. Okay, so under the heading, and this is the introduction to the executive summary, under the heading, it says opening of the Crossfire Hurricane and four related investigations and early investigative steps. This was, I suppose you could say that this predated the FISA applications to the FISA court. So I guess you could say in terms of a timeline, the Crossfire Hurricane investigation was opened. And subsequent to that, the four FISA applications were made to the FISA court to engage in electronic spying on Carter Page. Okay, so to start off here, the FBI says here, I'm reading, it says here, the FBI assembled a headquarters-based investigative team of special agents, analysts, and supervisory special agents, referred to throughout this report as the Crossfire Hurricane Team, who conducted an initial analysis of links between Trump campaign members and Russia. Based upon this analysis, the Crossfire Hurricane Team opened individual cases in August 2016 on four U.S. persons. They were Papadopoulos, Carter Page, Paul Manafort, and Michael Flynn, all of whom were affiliated with the Trump campaign at the time the cases were opened. Now, that's particularly important. Crossfire Hurricane Team, the Crossfire Hurricane investigation was on key members, or what they thought were key members of the Trump campaign, presidential campaign. Let me continue. As detailed in Chapter 2, the Attorney General's Guidelines for Domestic Operations and the FBI's Domestic Investigations Operational Guide both require that FBI investigations be undertaken for an authorized purpose, that is, to detect, obtain information about, or prevent or protect against federal crimes or threats to the national security, or to collect foreign intelligence. Additionally, both the AG guidelines and the DIOG permit the FBI to conduct an investigation, even if it might impact First Amendment or other constitutionally protected activities, so long as there is some legitimate law enforcement purpose associated with the investigation. In addition to requiring an authorized purpose, FBI investigations must have adequate factual predication before being initiated. Now, that's a particularly important statement that's in the report. So let me read that again. In addition to requiring an authorized purpose, FBI investigations, that is, in this case, Crossfire Hurricane, must have adequate factual predication before being initiated. Let me continue reading. The predication requirement is not a legal requirement, but rather a prudent one imposed by the department and FBI policy. The DIOG provides for two types of investigations. One, preliminary investigations, and two, full investigations. A preliminary investigation may be open based upon any allegation or information indicative of possible criminal activity or threats to the national security. A full investigation may be opened based upon an articulable, sorry about that, I'm having trouble with that word, factual basis. In other words, you can articulate the factual basis of such a thing that reasonably indicates that any one of three defined circumstances exist, and they include something relating to a federal crime. Crossfire, and I'm skipping ahead here, so let me read this. Crossfire Hurricane was opened as a full investigation, and all of the senior FBI officials who participated in discussions about whether to open a case told us the information warranted opening it. For example, then Counterintelligence Division Assistant Director E.W. Prystap, who approved the case opening, told us that the combination of the FFG information and the FBI's ongoing cyber intrusion investigation of the July 2016 hacks of the Democratic National Committee's emails created a counterintelligence concern that the FBI was obligated to investigate. Skipping ahead, it says here, the report says, as part of our review, that's the IG's review, we also sought to determine whether there was evidence that political bias or other improper considerations affected decision-making in Crossfire Hurricane. So they did look into that in terms of bias, the results of which were the results of which were inconclusive. And then further ahead, it says there, the Crossfire Hurricane team used more intrusive techniques. Okay, this is really kind of disturbing here. But let me read this because it sort of like gets to the heart of what exactly was going on. The Crossfire Hurricane team used intrusive techniques, including CHSs, that's confidential human sources, to interact and record multiple conversations with Page and Papadopoulos during and after the time they were working for the Trump campaign, as well as on one occasion with a high-level Trump campaign official who was not a subject of the investigation. We found that under department and FBI policy, although this CHS activity implicated First Amendment protected of activities. The operations were permitted because their use was not for the sole purpose of monitoring activities protected by the First Amendment or the lawful exercise of other rights secured by the Constitution or laws of the United States. All right. So in other words, that's a lot of legal speak for the fact that these confidential human sources were in fact being used to spy on campaign officials. And to the extent that they were, that was considered to be appropriate. But the IG also said the following, we found it concerning that department and FBI policy did not require the FBI to consult with any department official in advance of conducting confidential human source operations. Okay. Then it goes on to say the decision to seek and use this highly intrusive investigative technique was known and approved at multiple levels of the department, including by then a Deputy Attorney General Yates for the initial FISA application and first renewal. Okay. So, and then the report goes on to cover a whole bunch of things relating to the FISA application and the use of the use by the Crossfire Hurricane team of what we call the Steele dossier. Okay. The first application for FISA authority on Carter Page. This is the section that I'm reading from on this executive summary of the IG report. At the request of the FBI, the department filed four applications with the FISA court seeking FISA authority targeting Carter Page. The first application on October 21st, 2016, and three renewal applications on January 12th, April 7th, and June 29th, 2017. A different FISA judge considered each application and issued the requested orders collectively, resulting in approximately 11 months of FISA coverage targeting Carter Page from October 21st, 2016 to September 22nd, 2017. All right, so 11 months. All right, so now what we're going to do here is I'm going to just quickly go through what were there were 17 mistakes, 17 errors, 17 acts of deception that was carried out by the Crossfire Hurricane team. So the Crossfire Hurricane team was not following any code of conduct, was not following any reasonable standards of behavior, was not following any moral code. They were running fast and loose across the landscape, and they didn't care who was in their way. They were going to find out once and for all that there was, in fact, a connection between the Trump campaign and the Russian government, as exposed, at least in part, by the Steele dossier that was developed to support the idea that there were collaborations and there were personal discussions and there were communications between key members of the Russian government and key members of the Trump campaign. These are 17, and I'm just going to outline them real quick because once you sort of like get bogged down in the specifics of each one, you kind of lose sight of the big picture. So this is a kind of a big picture overview of the 17 mistakes, 17 errors, 17 critical points of deception on the map. And then we'll listen to Lindsey Graham again and hear a little bit about what he has to say, and then we'll have some concluding remarks, and pretty well fill up the rest of the show. And most likely we'll continue this for probably one other week. I want to get through this. I want to do it justice, but I want to get through this because we've got some important things for us to discuss down the road concerning the economic situation in the country and concerning the top 25 companies that have been reported on that are on the short list of the top companies in the United States. So I want to cover that in some meaningful detail because that's kind of like what we deal with here on Throttle Up. Okay, so getting back here, I'm going to cover the 17 mistakes, omissions, and points of deception. Number one, the Crossfire Hurricane Team omitted information. This is with respect to its applications for the four FISA applications. Okay. They omitted information about an operational contact with respect to Carter Page working for another government agency. And I don't doubt that that's why they made this number one, because that's probably the most important omission that the Crossfire Hurricane Team made with respect to the FISA applications on Carter Page. That is that he was a confidential informant for the CIA at some previous point of time in the not too distant past. Why that was done, you can say, well, it was an innocent oversight. I don't actually think there was anything innocent about it. I think it was premeditated. It was essentially vicious. Anyway, item two, the source characterization statement with respect to the Steele dossier and the FISA application was falsified. Item three, information was omitted concerning subsource reliability or unreliability. Item four, FBI asserted that Steele did not directly provide press information to Yahoo News. And the fact is that Steele did provide press information to Yahoo News, and they were using not Yahoo News to bolster their FISA application, which of course was circular logic, and it was, you know, seriously unethical. Item five, they omitted information concerning a Papadopoulos statement that essentially denied anyone in Trump campaign was collaborating with Russia. They omitted that Papadopoulos statement. Item six, they omitted Page's statement, which was Page never met or communicated with Paul Manafort. Item 7, they falsified an assertion that Page had met secretly with Russian agents, and there were two of them. Item 8, they omitted information concerning Steele's primary source. Item 9, they omitted Page's prior relationship with the CIA. Item 10, they omitted information derogatory to Steele's character. Item 11, they omitted information about Steele's motivations. Item 12, they failed to update information concerning Steele. Item 13, they failed to correct assertions. Item 14, they omitted findings updating Steele's reporting. Item 15, they omitted Papadopoulos' statement denying Trump campaign involvement. Item 16, they omitted Joseph Mifsud's denials that he supplied Papadopoulos with information. And finally, item 17, they omitted information that Page played no that to the effect that Page played no role on the Republican platform. All right, so that's a quick overview of all of the mistakes, errors that were made by the Crossfire Hurricane team as they were going forward with these FISA applications. All right, so we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to get our audio clip running of Lindsey Graham and listen to some of the things that Lindsey Graham has to say. Okay, we're back. Now, we're going to listen probably again, but this is useful because we're going to listen to Lindsey Graham as we get involved in this IG report that deals with the Crossfire Hurricane and FISA abuse situation. We're going to listen to what Lindsey has to say in his opening remarks. This was at Senate Judiciary hearings that they had with respect to the IG, Michael Horowitz. And so I thought this was pretty insightful in terms of how we should think about this report. What does it mean? What it was the insights that Lindsey Graham had concerning the report? Not the only insights that are important, of course, but it's useful to try to come to grips with his insights and what they meant to him. And see if we, see if we agree with that after reading the executive summary. I think it's a 19-page or 21-page executive summary of the report, and try to understand it in a way that is useful for us going forward as citizens and as a country. All right, so let me pull up this audio clip, and then we can listen in together.
For the country. And Mr. Horowitz, I'm dying to hear from you, but I bet I haven't made 20 minutes of opening statements in a year. I'm going to take a little bit longer to try to lay out what I think is before us as a nation. Crossfire Hurricane was probably the best name ever given to an investigation in the history of investigations, because I think that's what we wound up with, a crossfire and a hurricane. There's been a lot of media reports about your report before it was issued. And I remember reading all these headlines, lawful investigation with a few irregularities. Everything okay, low-level people kind of got off track. If that's what you get out of this report, you clearly didn't read it. If that's your takeaway, that this thing was lawfully predicated, and that's the main point, you missed the entire report. How do you get a headline like that? That's what you want it to be. You want it to be that and nothing more. And I can assure you, if this had been a Democratic president going through what President Trump had gone through, that would not have been the headline. The headline would be, the FBI takes law into its own hands. Biased agents cut corners, lie to court, ignore exoneration. So the first thing I want you to know is how the cake is baked here. And my goal is to make sure that people, when this is over, whether you like Trump, hate Trump, don't care about Trump, you look at this as more than a few irregularities. Because if this becomes a few irregularities in America, then God help us all. Now, the people that were in charge in this investigation were handpicked by Mr. McCabe, who is now a CNN analyst, high up in the FBI, the number two guy. The first question I will ask in a bit, is this the best of the best? Are these people normal representatives of the Department of Justice and the FBI? I hope you will say no, because I believe it to be no. And if I believed otherwise, I would be incredibly depressed. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to assume something for the sake of argument, that there was a lawful predicate to open up a counterintelligence investigation. And I want you to know the standard to open one up is about like that. And I also want you to know a counterintelligence investigation is not a criminal investigation. They're not trying to solve a crime. They're trying to stop foreign powers from interfering in America. That a counterintelligence investigation is designed to protect Americans from foreign influence. I want the American people to know there was an effort to affect Hillary Clinton's campaign by foreign actors. The FBI picked up that effort. They briefed her about it, and they were able to stop it. We will be receiving a defensive briefing tomorrow as a committee from the FBI to tell us all about what we should be watching for. And there may be some specific threats against us. I don't know. But I know they're going to brief us to protect us, not to surveil us. And here's what I want every American to know. From the time they opened up Crossfire Hurricane till this debacle was over, they never made any effort to brief Donald Trump about suspected problems within his campaign. They had one briefing talking about, you know, the Russians are out there, you better beware. Nothing about Carter Page, nothing about Papadopoulos, nothing about the other people that they thought might be working with the Russians. Why did they not tell him that? I hope you can give us an answer. Bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, a counterintelligence investigation is a good thing until it becomes a bad thing. Because it doesn't take much to open one. And the worst thing can happen is for people to open one up whose real purpose is not to protect an American, but to surveil them. Senator Feinstein found herself in a situation all of us may one day find ourselves in. A longtime employee was suspected of having ties to a foreign government. They informed her and she took appropriate action. How easy would it be for somebody to come into our campaigns as a volunteer? We really don't know who they are. You just appreciate any help you can get. How easy would it be for all of us to get caught up in this scenario? I hope all of us would appreciate, if you really believe there's somebody in my campaign working with a foreign power, please tell me. so I can do something about it. Why didn't they tell Trump? We'll figure that out later. But I think it's a question that needs to be asked. So for a moment, let's assume that there was a lawful predicate to open up a counterintelligence investigation. What has been described as a few irregularities becomes a massive criminal conspiracy over time to defraud the FISA court, to illegally surveil an American citizen, and to keep an operation open against a sitting president of the United States, violating every norm known to the rule of law. Many of you are prosecutors. Many of you have been U.S. attorneys. Many of you have been defense attorneys. Trump's time will come and go. But I hope we understand that what happened here can never happen again. Because what happened here is not a few irregularities. What happened here is the system failed. People at the highest level of our government took the law in their own hands. And when I say defraud the FISA court, I mean it. To your team, you were able to uncover and discover abuse of power I never believed would actually exist in 2019. How bad is it? It was as if J. Edgar Hoover came back to life. The old FBI, the FBI that had a chip on its shoulder and wanted to intimidate people and find out what was going on in your life and the law be damned. Martin Luther King, and just fill in the names. So, who ran this thing? The people were handpicked by McCabe, the number two guy at the FBI. The supervisory agent, the deputy assistant director for counterintelligence, is Peter Strzok. He's a big player in all things Crossfire Hurricane. Lisa Page, you may have heard of her. Who was she? She was an FBI lawyer working for McCabe. These are two central characters in this debacle. Let me tell you a little bit about who these people are and where they're coming from. Thanks to a lot of hard work by people, for Mr. Horowitz, the FBI, and others, here's what we know. Strzok, the frontline supervisor, February 12, 2016. Oh, he's, Trump, abysmal. I keep hoping the charade will end and people will just dump him. The problem then is that Rubio will likely lose to Cruz. I never quite made it, and I can understand why they would not consider me a serious candidate. The Republican Party is utter shambles. When was the last competitive ticket they offered? March 3rd, 2016. Page, God, Trump is a loathsome human. Strzok, oh my God, he's an idiot. And you know what? Newsrooms all over the country, people are nodding. This represents the attitude of a lot of people in America, and you can have that attitude, but you shouldn't be in the journalism business. You shouldn't be at the FBI. If you were in the military and you said anything like this about a commander-in-chief, you'd be charged with a crime. Remember the McChrystal debacle where they had a barroom discussion with a reporter from the Rolling Stone? What's the takeaway? Don't go to a bar with a Rolling Stone reporter. They started talking about how they didn't like Joe Biden, and I was one of the first people to say that is out of bounds. You can have all the political opinions you want, but if you're an officer in the United States military, you will park those opinions and you will not speak ill of the commander-in-chief. But that obviously is not a rule at the FBI Department of Justice. March 16, 2016. I cannot believe Donald Trump is likely to be actual serious candidate for president. July 16th, we're getting closer to when this thing opens. And wow, Donald Trump is an enormous douche. Again, a lot of people agree with that. Trump barely spoke, but the first thing out of his mouth was, we're going to win so big The whole thing is like living in a bad dream. July the 19th, 2016. Trump is a disaster. I have no idea how destabilizing his presidency would be. And a lot of people believe that. You're entitled to believe that, but you should not be an investigator. July the 30th. The investigation's open. And damn, this feels momentous about the investigation because this matters. The others one did too, but that was to ensure we didn't F something up. This matters because this matters. So super glad to be on this voyage with you. I hope you understand what this voyage was about. August 8, 2016, 3 days before Strzok was named the frontline supervisor. He's not ever going to become president, right? Page to Strzok. Strzok, no. No, he won't. We'll stop it. These are the people in charge. August 15, 2016. I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office, that there's no way he gets elected. But I'm afraid we can't take that risk that the American people will pick their president, is what they're saying. It's like an insurance policy in the unlikely event you die before you're 40. August 26, 2016. Just went to a Southern Virginia Walmart. I could smell the Trump support. People in charge. October 11, 2016. Currently fighting with Stu for the FISA. Stu was a lawyer who thought this thing was not on the up and up. Stood his ground until he couldn't stand it anymore. Eventually got run over. October the 19th. I'm all riled up. Trump is an effing idiot, is unable to provide a coherent answer. The New York Times probability numbers are dropping every day. I'm scared for our organization. November the 3rd, 2016. Oh, my God. This is effing terrifying. Referencing an article entitled, A Victory by Trump Remains Possible. November the 9th, 2016. Are you ever going to give out your calendars? Some kind of depressing. Maybe it should be the first meeting of the secret society.
Okay, we are out of time. We have run over a little bit. So that was rather interesting. Now, it actually gets better, so I think we're probably going to finish up, at least finish some more of that rather interesting discussion by Lindsey Graham, because it gets better as it goes on, and so I think we'll probably run another show about this next week. I know I have a number of things I want to cover with respect to the ISA. IG report executive summary. Okay, another show for Throttle Up is in the can, and thank you for listening. We're going to have some closing remarks. See you all next week. Well, that went fast. So this is a close of another show, another Throttle Up. And before I go, I would like to acknowledge a few people. I'd like to thank my listening audience for being here, and I would like to thank Red State Talk Radio for providing us an opportunity for each and every weekend to put on this radio show that we call Throttle Up. And I would like to thank all of you veterans out there. Thank you for your service, and I would like to thank the families of the veterans. Thank you for supporting this noble cause. And I would like to thank all of you on active duty in the Guard and the Reserve. Thank you for serving this great country of ours. And with that, I would like to say goodbye, and we will see you all again next week.